I don't know why Shawn Colvin matters in the music world. I can only say why she matters to me as a listener, because she touches my heart. I think what makes her unique is that she's excellent on so many levels. You know, she's a great songwriter. She's an excellent guitarist. I saw her play in Richard Thompson's band at one point when she was a member of the band, and I don't think any guitarist would be anxious to get on stage with Richard, and yet she did and held her own beautifully. She's an amazing song interpreter. You know, her covers are just unbelievable. She brings out nuances in the songs that I didn't catch when the original artist did them. She's a really great collaborative artist as well. When she works with other people, she seems to bring out the best in them and vice versa. So she just has a lot of musical strengths, but they all add up to that she really touches the heart.
Let's break it down a little bit. Let's first talk about the quality of her voice, because a lot of people comment on that. How would you describe what makes it distinctive?
It's hard to say what makes it distinctive. That's sort of like saying, what does chocolate taste like? It tastes like chocolate. Sean's voice is unique and immediately identifiable to me. There's not another songwriter that has her vocal sound. I mean, I guess it's a little bit nasally, and that distinguishes it. But again, I would have a hard time in words expressing what makes it unique beyond saying that I can't think of another singer who sounds like she does.
So in her writing, well, she touches your heart with the whole package, clearly. I mean, that's what she does with so many of her fans. But in her writing and what she seems to be saying, you know, how would you characterize what comes through there? And, you know, you can use specific song examples. Obviously, it's not the same in every song. But
well, right away, what comes to my mind is the song Wichita Skyline, because she paints this picture with words, but it's more than just a picture of a skyline and the sun going down. It's just a whole vibe. It's a feeling. It's an atmosphere that she creates with that song. And that's a fairly direct song. You know, she has songs that are more poetic and vague, and then songs that are real specific. And, you know, I like both of them, both of those kind of songs, like 84,000 Different Delusions or Another Plane Went Down. These are kind of mind movies that I don't know exactly what she's talking about, but I get the vibe. And then there's things, another song like that would be, say, Facts About Jimmy. And then there's things that are, you know, metaphoric and poetic, but I think they're more specific, like Shotgun Down the Avalanche. I think we've all had that feeling, whether it's about a relationship or just our lives in general. So I think her songs do different things. Some are more, you know, evoke certain emotions, and others are more specific to matters of the heart and relationships.
Do you want to take a stab at, I mean, you did a nice job there of picking out a few songs, but if you could, you know, kind of scroll through her discography a little bit and maybe pick one from each phase, you know, each one of her albums, that, and maybe something that's not as even as well known that would I would be able to direct listeners' attention to.
Besides Shotgun Down the Avalanche from Shawn Colvin's first album, I really like Ricochet in Time. There's a line in there about dreams. I won't try to quote it directly because I'll get it wrong, but it's such a great twist in that line. And so I love those two stand out from the first album. From Fat City, gosh, that's a really varied record. I like the aggressive songs like Tennessee and Object of My Affection. They just have a real propulsion to them. But I also like the moodier things like Set the Prairie on Fire, which is a real sexy song. And I Don't Know Why, which is an overlooked classic that someday will get its due. From the third album, which I guess is Cover Girl, you know, again, what Sean does. When I first saw Sean was before her record had ever come out, the debut, and her version of Talking Heads, This Must Be the Place. I mean, I was just like, wow, I've heard that song 1,000 times, and it was like I'd never heard it before. And I think that's really symbolic of what she can do with a song that's not hers. And even though her cover of Dylan's You're Gonna Make Me Lonesome When You Go is more of a straightforward reading, again, she gives it something different than Bob does. I would never say she gives it something better than Bob does, because who can do Bob better than Bob? But, you know, what she brings to You're Gonna Make Me Lonesome When You Go makes it a standout for me from the third record. I think the fourth record is A Few Small Repairs, and, you know, 90% of that is just A++. I especially like 84,000 Different Delusions. That's an important song for me in my life because I feel that way sometimes in life, but I never was able to articulate it. And I think I asked Sean once, where did you get that number? And perhaps she told me, I'm not certain, it's many years ago, I think the Dalai Lama or someone had said there were 84,000 different delusions. But it's just the dreaminess of the music wed to the lyrics. They're sort of seamless. You can't separate one from the other. And I just find that song revelatory. I'd never thought of the delusions in my life in those terms till Sean sang it like that. And then light bulb goes off, and then you're like, that's what I want a song to do for me. Shine a light in a direction that I'd never experienced before. I'd never had illuminated before. So 84,000 Different Delusions stands out from A Few Small Repairs. Sunny Came Home, of course, stands out, but I've heard it so many times now that I'm probably a little numb to it. And I don't have the records in front of me, as you know. And Wichita Skyline is a real standout. I love the way she evokes Wichita linemen without ever getting too directly toward it. From A Whole New You, Matter of Minutes, I think is great. I love Another Plane Went Down because, again, that's one of those dreamier songs. And I don't have the record in front of me, but those two stand out for me especially. Mm-hmm. And
that's up to date.
That's up to date, right. Yeah.
Yeah, both Sean and John Leventhal say of A Whole New You, wrong record, wrong time, difficult recording situation. But as a radio programmer, did you find more in it than the artists perhaps seeing it themselves?
Maybe not as a radio programmer did I see more in that record than Sean and John did. But, I'm close to Sean as a friend because she's my neighbor, and I remember seeing her during the birth of that record and the gestation of it, and she was just having a very difficult time. You know, what was lacking for me on that record was Sean's guitar. That's what I was missing. Mm-hmm. And I like these little miniature music boxes that John creates, but I felt the whole thing was just maybe a little bit too insular. It needed Sean's guitar. It needed some natural elements to bring it to life. But having said that, when I see Sean sing the songs from that record live, and it's usually just her and her guitar, I think the songs stand with her best work, and I'll argue that fact with her directly. I think she has a lot of personal things that record connotes for her, that it brings up for her, that maybe are unpleasant, just the difficulty in making it. But I still think that there's songs in there that stand with her best work. A Matter of Minutes, One Small Year, that's another one that I remember. And I'll always come back to Another Plane Went Down, because that, for me, I like the impressionistic songs that Sean does as much as the other stuff that I like.
And that represented a bit of a turn for her to start to write about other characters, paint pictures, situations. It's distinctive in that way, isn't it?
It is. This is just my personal tastes as a music fan. I'm a fan of confessional singer-songwriter stuff. So even though, let's say, 84,000 Different Delusions may not have been written by Sean about Sean, or Get Out of This House might not be directly related to the dissolution of her second marriage, I like to put myself in that place. I have a harder time with character songs by anyone. So things like Roger Wilco didn't resonate with me as much as Another Plane Went Down, which I imagined was Sean singing in some points to her her partner at the time, Mario, who's the father of her daughter. So I like the stuff that's about the artist, whether it's Sean or anyone else. Character things have always been tough for me. It's like when John Lennon was talking about Double Fantasy coming out and going, well, there's no Ziggy Stardust and there's no Tommy here. You know, it's the characters are John and Yoko, and that's who we are, and we don't have a fake name and we don't have a persona. That's who we are. And I like that. You know, I like that feeling that it's people indeed talking about themselves in the first person, even though I know that's an illusory thing, and not necessarily the case. But that's the stuff that I like the best.
So, again, put a different hat on instead of maybe your friendship hat, if you're able to do that, and talk about where you see Sean in the music business, along with a lot of other artists who are approaching midlife and aren't marketed as pop stars anymore, but are looking for some sort of vitality. What do you see that's, you know, potentially ahead for Sean, and talking about, you know, whether there's a place for her music?
Well, I certainly think there's a place for Sean's music, and I think one thing that makes me very optimistic about the music she's going to make in the future is that she landed on None Such Records, because that place is a sanctuary for artists that maybe aren't going to sell platinum anymore because of just the curve of demographics and the way things go. But that's home to Emmylou Harris and David Byrne and Katie Lang, and I think that's good company for Sean. You know, if you look at the latest albums from, let's say, Bonnie Raitt's new album has sold maybe 200,000 units, where she's had records that have sold 20 and 25 times as much. It's harder to reach those adult consumers. But what I foresee for Sean is just, you know, a lifetime of writing great songs and making great records and having an audience that's large enough for her to tour and, you know, support herself in a good way. And, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. The new albums from The Stones, from Paul McCartney, they're all selling in the 300,000 unit range at this point. Neil Young's new album is in the 200,000 unit range. So whether you're a superstar or whether you're someone like Sean, who's maybe not a superstar but has such artistic credibility and has won 3 Grammys, you know, I just think she's going to carve out a career of making great music and playing it around the world, and I think that's what she got into it for, and I think she's going to be able to keep doing it.
And then finally, I'm going to end with sort of the beginning, which is you're very deep in music history. I mean, you can tell just by looking around your office here, and you talked about, you know, your fondness for female singer-songwriters and that sort of thing. So place Sean in the arc of the genre, if you will, a little bit. You know, where does she pick up? How does she carry it on? What do you think? I mean, I'm thinking of somebody I see in a picture right over your shoulder now, actually, over there.
Well, I think Sean will be the first to say that Joni Mitchell was the archetype for what she does. What's different is that Sean, her interpretations of other people's work and her covers sort of sets her apart. But I think she's in a continuum that began with Joni. And oddly enough, two of the other, and I hate to break this down by gender, but since that's the way we're going, two of my other favorite female singer-songwriters live in Austin. I think Patty Griffin is just unbelievable, and I know Sean's one of Patty's biggest fans. And I think Eliza Gilkison is equally wonderful, and all three of those folks have really distinct identities. You know, what's coming up now is a new breed of poppier singer-songwriters like Anna Nalick and Brandi Carlile and people like that, who are getting major label pushes, probably the same kind of push that people like Sean got 10 years ago. And I think they grabbed the baton from Sean, although I think they're a little poppier than she is, and just they don't run as deep. But they're also a lot younger, too.
Is there anything else?
I really like watching Sean perform. I like watching artists who can be spontaneous on stage, and because primarily she performs solo with her guitar, I like that every performance is different. The sequencing of songs and the song selection will take on a different shape at every performance. The songs that she might choose to cover, you know, for a while she would open a show with Donovan's Catch the Wind, and then that might fall out of favor. And for a while she was opening with Paul Westerberg's Even Here We Are, or a Neil Finn Private Universe. She has such a great ear for other people's songs, and when she performs live with her guitar, I like that feeling of coming into the show and not knowing where we're going and where we're going to wind up, but I know it's going to be a good ride.
When did you first see her? What year was she?
I think I first saw Sean. You know, I've lived in Austin, Texas for 28 years, but I was not here when she was in the Dixie Diesels and playing in, you know, Western swing bands and doing what she did. Mandolinist Paul Glass gave me Sean's record, I believe, in 1990. if that's when the Steady On came out. And I just got an advance from Columbia Records, and I saw her play, without knowing her. I didn't know her personally till years later. Saw her at McCabe's when the record came out in Santa Monica. Saw her in Richard Thompson's band. Saw her at a song swap with Dave Alvin, Richard Thompson, and Barrett Strong. So I just saw her a lot of different ways and formats, if you will, presenting her music before I ever was an acquaintance of hers, because I was just a big fan. Mm-hmm.